Go ahead and keep your Bibles open right there at James chapter 1. If you're a visitor here with us this morning, we're certainly glad to have you and to understand too. Maybe you're new to the Bible. Maybe that's something that's not familiar to you. Maybe you come from other places where you've studied God's Word a little bit and want something maybe a little bit different. Maybe you want more Scripture in a lesson. We have pew Bibles that are in the back of nearly every pew. Unless you sit on a break, then you got to look underneath you. This morning we're going to start off, if you need those, on page 1207, which is already announced. And we do that for a couple of different reasons. Number one, whenever you're unfamiliar with Scripture, it's hard to find a book in a chapter sometimes. So if you're a new Christian, if you're a visitor, please take out a Bible and follow along, because we want you to understand and to know what we teach is not something that we've made up. We're looking to God's Scripture to lead us and to guide us. And let that be our standard. It's been quite a week in Jefferson City. And yet the Lord has been so gracious and kind to us. And at the same time, there is no limit on how many trials you can have in one day. Or even one week. We're not limited to just one a day. If you are, please let me know. But to also see, as we go through these things, I want to look at James this morning, verses 2 through 8. We'll turn maybe once. But I want you to notice a few things in particular. I want you to pay attention to these three themes. The first one's about joy. The second one's about wisdom. The third is about faith that upholds the first two. Because without faith, you'll never find joy and you'll never find wisdom. Especially whenever you see yourself encountering various trials all at once. If you notice, look at verse 2. Consider it all joy, my brethren, when you encounter various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance. How do you consider it when difficulties come? Whenever they come, do you throw your hands up in disgust? Do you go ahead and give up? Do you look at them and say, oh wow, this is going to be something. Here when James writes to a bunch of Jews who have been scattered because of persecution, he says, consider it all joy whenever you encounter various trials. Because that's the way life comes at us. It doesn't say, okay, you just have this problem today and you'll deal with the next one next week and everything will go at a nice easy pace. Sometimes, like whenever you look at Job in the Old Testament, everything goes away in moments. To look at it here, James says there's something you need to know up front. How do you consider it when difficulties come? These are trials in the sense of things that happen to you, not because of your own evil or own wickedness. This is about the things that just fall on you. In original language, it means whenever you fall into all these situations. Let me give you an example from the book of Acts. In Acts chapter 5, the apostles have just been before the highest court of the Jews, and they have been strictly warned after being flogged, no longer preach in the name of Jesus. You're really destroying our apple cart here in Jerusalem. They're flogged. They're whipped. And whenever they leave, their reaction is they rejoice in the fact that they were worthy enough to suffer for the name of Jesus. How did they let the encounter affect them? They were grateful. They were thankful that they had done for the Lord in a way that meant opposition from the enemy, and that they had suffered physically for it, and they rejoiced that they were counted worthy to suffer for Him. The very next verse says there, and they kept on preaching and teaching. Because there was a joy that was at work in them. A joy that said, hey, it's just trials. That's no big deal. And they kept on going. And if you notice here in verse 3, he says in James 1, knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance, that's why there's joy. Because the spiritual is being built. Gaining endurance. Endurance is not something that just turns on in one day. You don't go from being a sprinter to a marathon runner in just a matter of hours. For them, They had been through the difficulty. They had seen it. And whenever the difficulties came in these various trials that they encountered, they said, we're taking joy because we know what God is doing with our faith. God is seeking to refine our faith. If you've ever tried to refine anything, it takes hard labor. If you ever tried to refine water, sometimes they put boil bands on. Well, it seems like it's going to be a long time before you get to do the things you used to do in just a moment. Now you're trying to refine that water, to boil it, and to make sure you got enough for what you need. Here the picture is about someone who was refining metals. It gets heated up hot. They would take that iron ladle and scoop off the impurities. They would heat it up hotter, and now they would take off more of the impurities, and they would go through it 7 times. Here there's no limit. But to say, here's God looking at our faith and saying, there are going to be things that you run into and that you encounter that are difficult and they're trials. Know that I'm seeking to refine your faith. It is not for no purpose. If you look back through the Old Testament, men like Job, at the end, after he's had endurance, he's given twice as much as what he began with. If you look at men like Joseph, for the last 25% of the book of Genesis, he goes from being a favored son to being sold by his brothers to being taken into as a slave in Egypt to being having false accusations against him, being thrown into prison to be forgotten by other people, and then finally he's raised up. What's the point? When they endured, notice what happened. God always took care of refining their faith. It's always greater in the end than it was in the beginning. So can we be a people who learn that whenever various trials come, no matter what shape, form, or fashion they are, whether they be strained relationships, whether they be physical, material, whether they be of anything, can we have faith in the midst of it all? Knowing that God is refining our faith, and that faith is something that is long-term, not short-term. Then if you also notice, when we take the right attitude through trials, God's going to grant us endurance. He'll make sure of that. He'll make sure that you have the strength to keep on going if we'll have faith in Him. Now, notice the next verse. Here's verse 4. And let endurance have its perfect result so that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. Notice the way he says it. And whenever you take the right attitude through trials and difficulties, he says, endurance has its perfect result too. Endurance will keep you going forward all the way to the point that he says here to be perfect and complete. How many of us want to be perfect and complete? Well, then the real question is, do you take faith in trials? Whenever everything hits you at once, do you respond out of faith? He says, because that's where I promised to take you. I'll refine your faith. That'll breed endurance. And endurance will breed about lacking in nothing. Perfect and complete. He's not talking about physical stuff. He's talking about the eternal things. In thinking about that, what if we sit back and say, I can't take joy in trials. This is too hard. This is too difficult. Let me show you what will happen if we don't. This attitude of consider it all joy when you encounter various trials is not an option and life still turn out well. I want you to look back at the book of Matthew real quickly. Matthew chapter 13. And look down at verses 20 and 21. Matthew chapter 13, verses 20 and 21. And if you have one of the Pew Bibles, it's page 971. 971. Jesus is telling a parable of the sower. I just want to deal with one of the soils. Because it's a soil about what happens whenever afflictions and persecutions hit you. What happens if you're not tied by faith to the Lord to trust Him and take joy through the difficulty? I want you to see the outcome. Matthew chapter 13, look down at verses 20 and 21. The one on whom seed was sown on the rocky places. This is the man who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy. Now, in the message originally, he comes at it with joy, and that's wonderful. But notice it what changes. Verse 21. Yet he has no firm root in himself, but is only temporary. He never ties himself completely to Jesus. It's only joy for salvation. He says he has no firm root in himself, but is only temporary. And when affliction and persecution arises because of the Word, immediately he falls away. Whenever difficulties come in and afflictions or various trials come in, what happens when there's no faith response to Jesus? Immediately he falls away. It doesn't take long. So whenever these trials hit and we're encountered by them, the question is, how do you consider it? If you consider it with joy, God says, I'll refine your faith. I'll lead you into endurance. I'll lead you into perfect and complete and lacking in nothing spiritually. If you choose to let the persecutions and the afflictions hit you, and you're not going to be tied to Jesus to respond out of to have joy in it. Now this joy is not handsprings and cartwheels and all that kind of stuff. It's a knowledge of knowing God's made me a promise. Refine my faith. He'll breed endurance through it. And He'll also lead me to perfect and complete and lacking in nothing. We say, well, I take joy in it. I'm not those who are going to fall away because I'm going to let these persecutions and afflictions hit me. But I'm not perfect and complete yet. I don't have that full endurance yet. So what do I do? How do I respond to all these things? Well, come back over to James chapter 1. James chapter 1, look down at verse 5. What if we're lacking? What if we're still lacking? Because we haven't grown that far yet. Verse 5. But if any of you lacks wisdom, whenever you encounter various trials, that's when we realize how desperately we need wisdom. Even with joy and going through the difficulty, seeing what God is trying to build in us, we go, I see I'm deficient. I see I'm deficient. Sometimes trials hit so much and so often that we go, I'm not sure the faithful response to God other than taking joy through it because I know what He's building in me spiritually. What do I need to do from here? But if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God. Where should the difficulties bring us to face toward? You need to come to God. Here we are, we're limited. If anything last week taught us, we have no control. None whatsoever. But God does. And no matter what the difficulty or the trial is that we encounter, even if there's many of them at once, we don't stand in control. Now we can stir to the flesh and make things worse. Or we cannot have a faith response toward God and fall away and die spiritually. We need to turn toward the Lord and ask for help. And I want you to notice what He will do. Look at the rest of verse 5. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God who gives to all generously and without reproach, and it will be given to him. Where is God sitting on this spiritual journey with you? Is He saying, good luck? He says, no, I realize that you're limited. I know the strength you don't have. And you come to me and ask for wisdom? A wisdom that you know you don't have completely yet? He says, I'm glad you came. I'm glad you asked. I'm going to give to you generously. I'm going to give you more than what you need for your encounter of various trials. And you can count on me.
Brent saw the same thing I did. Whenever I walked up there on East Capitol Avenue, there were all kinds of people there. Food trucks, people handing out every kind of thing, water, chips, sandwiches. If you wanted food, you could have it. And you know what? They had so much stuff, nobody could eat it. It'd spoil before it all go. Because the need wasn't as great as what was being offered. With Jesus, what He offers is greater than what we need. What He gives us is grace beyond what we deserve. He says, you lack wisdom through trials? Ask me for it. I'll give you more than what you need. I'll give you wisdom beyond what you need for the moment. And it'll help prepare you for what's coming later. How many times in life have you gone through the difficulty, had the right attitude of joy, seen God refine your faith, built endurance, and then you realize you've asked of God for wisdom, and then whenever something else comes in your life or the life of someone else, what do you already have to help with? I got a wisdom to offer to you, not because of who I am, not because of who you are, but because of the generosity of God who gives. And He even says, and He does it without reproach. Well, reproach is kind of a church word. We don't use that word very much. What does that really mean? He doesn't look down His nose at us. He doesn't say, oh, you again, huh? He says, I'm glad to give it. I want to give it to you. But you've got to ask and you've got to trust me. You've got to trust. Notice how this continues. Here's verse 6. But he must ask in faith without any doubting. Faith is a response toward God even when you can't see it. When everything doesn't make sense, ask God for wisdom. But do it out of faith. Faith without any doubting. Because look at what happens whenever we encounter various trials, but our response is not toward God. Whenever we don't look through these things with joy and looking for wisdom, because faith is what gives the joy. Faith is what says, God, I trust you through the difficulties so that I know you'll refine my faith, so that I know you'll help me build endurance, so that I know you'll take me to perfect and complete and lacking in nothing. So that even in difficulties when I don't have all the answers, I'm going to ask you for wisdom and you're going to give me more than what I need. And I'm going to trust your wisdom and not go knocking on everybody else's door to see what they think. Because I put my faith in you and your wisdom. He says it here, for the one who doubts is like the surf of the sea driven and tossed by the wind. What if we're not going to put our faith in His wisdom? What if we're not going to have our faith refined by God because of taking joy through the difficulty? He says, well, I hope you like being seasick. Because you're going to get tossed around on it. And in the same way that the wind blows the waves and the surf of the sea and takes it in and out and in and out again, you might as well just be hurling over the side of the boat. There's no stability without faith. None. What was the hope you relied on when difficulties came in your life? If you died, do you take hope in knowing my sins are paid for? I have a faith to refine. I have an endurance that lasts beyond this world. And I'm going to be raised to be like Jesus, perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. Because I put my faith in His wisdom, not my own, and not anybody else's. Notice how it continues, verse 7. So what if we're going to waffle, and we can't take joy, and we're not going to take His wisdom? Look at what our expectation is from God, who is limitless. Look at what our expectation from Him can be. For that man ought not to expect that he will receive anything from the Lord. Nothing. Nothing. Your faith won't be refined. There won't be a building of endurance to keep going. There won't be building toward perfect and complete and lacking in nothing. There won't be a wisdom coming from God. There won't be stability in the midst of difficulty. There will be nothing. So when we look at trials and we say, I'm having a hard time taking joy in this, you're about to die. You're about to die spiritually. And if you call out to God without any faith, don't expect anything from Him. Nothing. And notice what He says in verse 8. Being a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways. Have you seen instability? Have you been in instability in your own life whenever we can't take joy through the difficulties? Because there's not a faith there to refine. And whenever we come to God, we do it with a little bit of doubting, of wondering, will He help? Will He change anything for me? He says, do you trust me or not? Because it's faith that gives us the joy of knowing He's going to work it out for my betterment. It is faith that upholds the wisdom for us to walk by it and not just think it's a good suggestion. Think of it this way. Jesus is out on the Sea of Galilee. Big storm hits. He's asleep in the back of the boat. Disciples are there. It's a humongous storm. It grabs their attention. They are scared to death. And they wake Jesus up in the back of the boat and they say, don't you care that we're perishing? Don't you care that we're dying? Jesus rebukes the waves and the sea and the storm. And then Jesus turns right to them and says, do you not have any faith? Why were you doubting? Oh, they were doubting. And yet here was Jesus who even showed them some compassion. Where was their faith? They needed to see the hand of God right in front of them to see the power that He had. And after He calms the storm, what did they say to themselves? What kind of man is this that He even calms the storms and the sea? In the midst of difficulty, to respond out of faith, we know who He is. That's what gives us the faith to know that He's going to refine things in us. That's the faith that upholds the wisdom that He gives for us to put our trust in it. Because God stands behind it. And we say, I'm standing with You. God, I want You to refine my faith. So when difficulties come, I take joy in You. I want to have more endurance. I want to be perfect and complete and lacking in nothing. I want You to grant me faith and wisdom. I want You to refine my faith. I want You to give to me generously of Your wisdom. And I'll walk by it. And I'll trust You. Because the alternative is we get sour in trials. And we get sour, we're just like that rocky soil. We're about to die. Spiritually about to die. Because there's no root firmly in Him. Firmly in His Word. And so as we look to God through difficulties in our lives, no matter what they may be, we can either look out of faith and we'll find joy. We'll find a joy that doesn't care about circumstances. It only cares about honoring God. And our faith will be refined. And we'll grow to perfect and complete and lacking in nothing. And He'll give us wisdom generously. Or we can be those who don't take joy because faith's not part of us. And we can expect to receive nothing from God. That's what lays on the line every time various trials come against us in our own lives. Which way will you choose? The choice is yours. You get to decide which direction to go. Which way have you chosen in the past? If you chose joy in the past, have you enjoyed the blessing of growth in Jesus? If you chose to go away from it, did your life get harder? Did you feel like you were alone because you wouldn't trust Him? And now to return, to put your faith in Him, He says, these are my promises to you out of faith. Do you trust my promises?